The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy with you. It's Wednesday morning, it's the 18th of September 2019 at 9:05. Good to be with you. As always, we're back in the bunker this morning, away from the mean fields of Carlow at the Ploughing Championships 2019. We had a splendid time. We met many people from all over the country. And thanks for saying hello. We ended up doing the first time I ever sheared a sheep before in my life. I've written about a sheep for children, but I've never sheared a sheep. And it was a peculiar experience. I won't go into it now, but I just want to apologise to that sheep, to the sheep's family, and to the, I think really the other sheep in the field when that sheep gets a slagging for the worst haircut she ever got. Okay, in the meantime, what do we got for you today? Good news for both Vicky Phelan and Christy Dignam, who were wonderful guests of ours on the Late Late Show on Friday night. Both their books are number one in the book charts, and I'm telling you, these are books that sometimes people come on to tell their story and they're selling a book that may or may not be brilliant. That's the truth of it. But these are two excellent stories that are unvarnished. And that's what even Christy said to me when we were having the chat last week in his house, that he wrote a book once, but he said he didn't know where he was. And he didn't know what, at the time, he was so off the beaten track. But this one is meaningful. And you'll know that when you read it. He's so pop. I hadn't even reflected on him singing Waltzing Matilda on the show, which was something very beautiful. If you haven't seen it, have a look at that. And then Vicky, I mean, where do you begin? Vicky Phelan's book is number one. And again, rightly so. She's just so honest and impressive. And that all comes out in every page of her book. And again, you won't be disappointed with either of those books. Vicky's is paperback number one, and Christy is hardback number one, hence the fact they're both number ones. There are categories in there, in their respective categories, they're number one. You know what Vicky Phelan said something very, I thought, striking among all the among all her life story, which if you didn't see the interview, if you haven't read the book, watch or read either, because there's so much more to her and her gorgeous family, many of whom were with us on Friday in the background. But she said that, she talked about how her daughter, Amelia, had... She's blind in one eye, and she was essentially, her dress went on fire one morning when she was seven, or one evening at the age when she was 7 or 8 years old, and it was only because Vicky Phelan had done a course in the first aid that she pretty much saved maybe her life, but certainly saved things from getting much worse. And I know it's a by the by, but I've sat in this chair for probably, I'd say, 3 years, promising to do that first aid course and completely failing to deliver on that promise to myself, not to you necessarily. But when I heard that and I was listening to it, I thought, nah, that's it now. Enough of the talking. Time to fix that. And so I'm going to, directly as a result of Vicky's conversation, sort that out. But she's so proud. She stuck around for a while after the show and we were chatting away, and she's one of those people who is exactly what you'd expect to be off air or on. She's authentic, and she's emotionally intelligent, and she's bright, and she's positive in a way that I don't think I would be if I was in her position. But then some people are built differently. Good news, both books, number one, Christy and Vicky. It's a tremendous story, and they both deserve all the goodness and good things that they get in their lives. So well done to them for that. Delighted for them. I see over in Washington, according to RTE.ie, a plaque commemorating the 1916 Easter Rising will be officially unveiled at the Washington Monument. This is a very rare honour. It's a commemorative plaque and contains the wording of the proclamation. It was presented to the US National Park Service on behalf of President Higgins and the people of Ireland to mark the anniversary of the 1916 Rising. Now, it is 2019, but nevertheless, softly, catchy plaquey. And the Washington Monument contains commemorative and memorial stones received from all 50 states in America, as well as cities and towns across the US. But there are memorial plaques from 17 foreign countries, and now we join that very small number, but significant event We will be represented today by Minister of State Kevin Boxer-Moran and Fianna Fáil Senator Mark Daly, who has worked with the US Department of the Interior and the Park Service to secure permission for the plaque. And Melania Trump, I think, is going to be there, as will Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney. And they will attend together and unveil the plaque. I think that's a lovely little touch. If you've never been to Washington and you like American history and politics, either start saving now or fix it in some way, or if you want to treat someone. It is one of the most fascinating places you'll ever go. And here's the beauty of it. 2 days. That's all you need there. You don't need to go for a week. You don't need to. So in other words, the dream trip, and I've done it, is New York 2 days, Washington 2 days, and you're home by Friday. Boom. Honestly, you will not be disappointed. It is like ancient Rome with stars and stripes. The marble, the memorials, the Vietnam Wall, the North Korean monument, the Korean War monument, the World War II. Everywhere you look, the Smithsonian's. Then that's before you get to the old Ebbets Grill for a burger and a cocktail. I mean, it just goes on and on. And there's an Irish hotel there, the Doyle Collection, right in the middle, DuPont Circle as well. So if you want to keep it Irish, go there. That's a beautiful spot, well run. So that's the trip. I'm gonna steal Francis Brennan's flag and bring you all on the trip someday, and do a New York and a political trip to Washington. I'd love that, no end. I was kind of keeping an eye out for. I know this sounds like kind of a bit ahead of the game, but Christmas-wise, I'm always around this time of year, because when October hits for me, that's it. I'm gone. Toy show-wise, it's just I've done a minute to breathe. So I kind of try to keep an eye on things. And Hodges Figgis in Dawson Street in Dublin does a good selection, as do Easton's around the place, of jigsaws. I think every bookshop should stock some jigsaws. I could recommend that to you, because everywhere I've been in the last couple of weeks, people have said, heard you talk about them, bought them. And this is Christmas present stuff, and they've got loads, which is good. But I only heard this morning that there is a jigsaw of the GPO, which comes with a free proclamation. How about that? Now, it's in black and white, which doesn't appeal to me at all, because the colours kind of give you a steer on a jigsaw. It takes the pain. I don't want to sweat and develop an ulcer doing a jigsaw. I want to calmly do one. But I thought that was freak proclamation with every 1916 jigsaw. Yes, the most Irish jigsaw I've ever heard of. Dublin Stony Batter. You know it well. It's been named the coolest place in Ireland. They're not my words. And among the top 50 most exciting neighbourhoods in the world by Time Out. Pretty funky magazine. It's just published its annual hit list of happening places. Stony Batter comes in at 42 out of 50. Not bad. Listen, if you're in the top 50, doesn't matter what number you're in. It's a new list, they have leapfrogged its formerly cool neighbour, Phibsborough, which featured prominently on last year's list. There is nothing, says Time Out, new about Stony Batter itself, with its red brick terraced houses and the regular clop of a horse and cart still heard on the road. This village in the city has long been one of Dublin's favourite districts, and the guide says that the past year has seen a string of great new openings, from vegan cafes to hot new bars, challenging other neighbourhoods, vying for the crown. And over the last 2 years, 2 sushi bars and 3 vegan restaurants have opened in the village, as well as several cafes and gift shops and pubs. So well done to Stony Batter for getting that level of attention. That is pretty impressive. And staying in the fair city of Dublin, the TV show that is so beloved of this country, Fair City, is 30 years old today. Happy birthday to all my friends and colleagues, both in front of and behind the camera, because honest to goodness, yes, give them a round of applause. 30 years, still going. And it's a great old show, and it's enormously popular, and it's a ratings hit, and a lot of work goes into that programme, at top to bottom and left to right. So well done. They deserve all the accolades, and they've survived down through the years, and it's impressive. 30 years old today. 1 hour special tonight between 8 and 9. A lot of excitement about that, and good luck to everybody. You're doing such a great job, and it's wonderful. So great. Now, you know when you go to the ATM and you think, yes, it's so handy, I don't have to go into the bank. A lot of you, I can't remember the last time I was inside a bank now. That's kind of on the way out the door, sort of. But anyway, there's a man out and about the place called Donald Wetzel. Who is Donald Wetzel? Don't know. Why is he talking about Donald Wetzel? I'm going to tell you. Donald Wetzel is 90 years old. And in 1968, he's a businessman, and he needed money to travel before the end of the weekend. So he went into a bank. And he saw this queue. He was 40 years old. And he saw this long queue snaking through the bank, out the door. Clock was heading towards 5 o'clock. Agitation growing. And he said so much of what they were doing was withdrawals. And it struck me as I was standing in line, there ought to be a machine that could do that. And something that didn't need the bank to open so that customers could get money 24 hours, 7 days a week. I thought it would be marketable. So he came up with an idea for the automated teller machine, ATM. And so the idea was born. It took him about 11 months from conception to fruition. So, and the first cash box, as it was called, was unveiled at this bank in September 1969, right? He said, I wanted something that used a transportable card. Something, imagine this like science fiction back in all those years ago. Something we could stick in our pockets. The real secret of it is the magnetic strip. The biggest obstacle along the way was finding a way to make it secure. So he developed the concept of using the strip to hold the personal identification number, the PIN, which back then matched the PIN printed on the card. So the data was then scrambled each time the card was used, data rearranged and so on. Anyway, marketing his invention would prove far from me. So this guy had come up with the idea for the ATM, sitting on this, and he started going door to door to pitch the product to bankers. And every door he knocked on was opened by somebody laughing in his face, going, that is never going to work. You clown. Wetzel, you clown with your cash box and your mad ideas. And he said, people thought I was nuts. And they would say, you mean a cash machine that anyone could just walk up to and use? I don't think so. We have tellers who can do that. You absolute fool. Today, there are 3.5 million ATMs installed around the world. And Mr. Wetzel, at the age of 90, doesn't have a worry in the world when it comes to the money in his pocket. Good on him. Whitney Houston, meanwhile, in a great non-sequitur, is going to go on tour again. The late Whitney Houston is going on tour again, courtesy of the hologram. I'm not sure about these holograms. I've asked people, did they go and see Roy Orbison hologramming his way through? And I found the answers I got on from people who went were just a little bit underwhelmed. People were just a little underwhelmed. So I'm not sure if those hologram tours are working. Ireland has been dubbed the most generous country in the world. Remember Live Aid? And we all put our hands in the pocket and helped out a bit for Bob Geldof and so on. And it turned out we were like the most generous per capita to donate. And it seems that continues. The Irish Examiner tells us that we have donated more than 40 million euro to GoFundMe causes. Almost one in 10 Irish people has used this take action button in thousands of online campaigns. More than 20,000 GoFundMe campaigns have been created by people in Ireland. And these are for any cause. It could be sports, to education, to medical. But people seem to respond, and they seem to have this. We do have a generous vein that runs through our psyche, our society as a people, which is great. But the figure announcement comes as the site revealed 860,000 donations have been made to these campaigns, which amounts to over 40 million in donations, which is pretty impressive. And hopefully people will go there again. There's a relay team of six swimming the Irish Sea from Wales to Ireland this week to raise money for families. And I like this because it's families who have to travel abroad for treatment for their children. This is an expensive thing to have to do. But these six swimmers will gather in Holyhead in Wales and swim in relay across the Irish Sea to Dublin. Jared Devon is the man from Greystones, is on the team. He has swum the English Channel and the 45-kilometre Manhattan line. And what will keep him and the others going are the faces of two children. For Devon, it's a 17-month-old child, Aaron, diagnosed with infant acute lymphoblastic leukaemia, and who travels from Ireland to Great Ormond Street Hospital in London for therapy. And there's another child, Mikey, who's 21 months old, goes to Manchester for leukaemia treatment. And all of these are supported by the Gavin Glynn Foundation, which is a charity that organises logistics and covers expenses for families from Ireland that are bringing sick children overseas. So you can get involved in that. Good luck to everyone involved in the swim. And again, just there's that lovely streak of kindness in this country that is celebrated there in that detail. I caught up with Room to Improve from Sunday because people had said to me, did you see it? And I said, no. And did you watch Joe and Mary? And I said, not yet. Anyway, the couple, Joe and Mary, I don't know who they are, but they're two people who are probably in their, they're probably around little, probably around 50-ish. And I don't want to be unfair to, particularly to Mary, but they are, they just got married in the course of the programme. Dermot Bannon, who was just in flying form, the show was just so good. And he was, he showed up at the wedding, gave a speech and everything. I mean, he got, this is hands-on presentation. But it's a really lovely programme. And here's what I thought about it. This couple, who found love, obviously, a little later in life, I couldn't help but thinking how romance lives on and how just romantic they're, they, she seemed really lovely personality, lovely, warm, easy to smile and laugh. And he was good crack, you know, and selling off the columns, the Roman columns, 50 quid a pop they got. He sold everything. His house was not nice. He like Dermot said as much. It's a pig, he called it, actually, at one stage. It was an awful-looking house. And Bannon and Mary, they were brilliant. They came in together and said, look, let's rescue this house for this fella. And it is now a palace and a home. It's a beautiful job he did. But the night, I just felt very happy for them. I don't know what it was. It heartened me to look at them. They just seemed like lovely people. Anyway, if you didn't see it, worth having a look back. Room to improve from Sunday. All right then, 9:20, more Irish good news. This this song is, we're very happy with this song, very interested in it. And we're going to play it. It's Dee Cullen. The song's called All Right, Young Fella. Doing a job, and this is where we're going to start musically this morning. Text number is open for business, 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie.